Having declared how life is lived when God is your King, Jesus now draws the Sermon on the Mount to a close. And the verses that we're going to look at this morning, I don't think it is possible to overestimate the urgency of the appeal that Jesus makes in the conclusion of the sermon. As I think about these verses, I don't think it's possible to overestimate it. Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 13, all the way to the end of this chapter, by contrasting two gates, two ways, two trees, two houses, and two ends. And that's the title of our sermon. Two gates, two ways, two trees, two houses, and two ends. And in keeping with that title, it's going to take 2 weeks to do it, okay? So we're going to look at verse 13 beginning today. Jesus says, again, now he is described from 5:1 all the way to 7:12 what life is like when Jesus is your King. What is it like? And now, having described that, Jesus begins his conclusion and says, enter through the narrow gate. The verb enter there is an imperative verb, which means that Jesus is urging you to do this. I am imploring you, I am urging you, now that you've heard the contrast between these two lives, to enter in to the narrow, the small gate. For, he says, the gate is wide and the way is broad. And the English Standard Version says the way is easy. Enter into the narrow gate, the small gate, for the gate that is wide and the way that is broad, the way that is easy, leads to destruction. And this is a word that means eternal judgment. And there are many, the large part of mankind, who enter in through the wide gate. For the gate is small. And by the way, the word enter there in verse 13 is a kind of a verb that means it's continually happening. They are entering. Right now, in this world today, in this city and around our state, the large part of people in our city are entering into the Broadway. He says, however, the gate is small, it is narrow. And the way is narrow. And again, the English Standard Version says here, the way is hard. That leads to eternal life. That leads to life. And there are few, in contrast, in number, who find it. In other words, there are few people in this city and in our state that are even looking for it. Because the word says, They find something. They're actually searching for it. And in the whole place, in this whole city, the large part of people are going through the wide gate and the broad, easy way. Now, Jesus has just presented to us what life would be like if God is your King, and says to everyone listening, so enter through that small gate, the narrow gate, the way that is hard. Because that way, however, does lead to life. And there are few people who actually find it. Who actually find what they're looking for. What, from Matthew 5, verse 1 to 7, verse 12, what is the broad way? It's the way of an outward righteousness. It's a way, it's a kind of life that is content with ceremonial, with on the exterior having a form of righteousness, but inside, the absolute, the exact opposite. It's a life that does not call for repentance. It is a life that accommodates all beliefs. Just go down the broad way. Just be who you are. There's no need to change. Go to church. Be a nice person. Do the best you can. Be, as what Jesus contrasts in 5:1 to 7:12, be a Pharisee. Someone who is exteriorly righteous, but it's not internally real. That's the broad way. The narrow way is very different. The narrow way is the life of inward righteousness, which in order for me to possess does call for repentance. And the only way there is through Jesus. It's a very narrow way. And Jesus now, having presented these two options, is urging every one of us here today and everyone who has ever read this sermon and who was there at that time to enter into the narrow gate. Because that is the way that will lead you to eternal life. Now I want to pause right now in Matthew 7 and flip over to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and I want to show you an example of the broad way. Here is broad way living. Here's what it looks like. Matthew 23 and verse 25 says, Jesus says, "Woe to you," this is a strong word of warning, "scribes, you people that are like doctors of the Old Testament law, that all you do is you're like professors who study it, and Pharisees, you people that are really strictly living exteriorly to the outside law, you obey all these special rules that you have." He says, here's why I'm warning you. "You clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence." It'd be like someone washing their dishes and only washing the outside, and they send it back to you for the next meal, and the stain and the gunk left over the last meal is still there. He says, "Inside you are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." You guys are so concerned that your family and people that you know think that you're a nice, kind person, you're religious and so forth, but you're not concerned about the interior of your heart. You guys are in grave danger. This is the broad way. Verse 27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." You guys, go to any cemetery, and you can see some gorgeous monuments there. But if you were to open up the door of that, what would you find? It would not be pretty. Jesus says, "So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and you are full of lawlessness." Your heart regularly breaks God's law, and that's fine with you. That's where you are. See, this is the broad way. But the narrow way is the one that Jesus has described throughout this sermon. And so now he comes to the end and says, the first thing he says at the conclusion is, "Now having presented you the broad, easy way, which does not call for repentance, which accommodates all religious beliefs, and the narrow way, which is calling for an interior righteousness which only Jesus can give you, which therefore calls for repentance, a poverty of spirit, to say, Jesus, if I'm ever going to be really righteous, you have to change me, and thus it's hard." Now Jesus says, "Enter through that gate." You know, it is so easy to follow the crowd down the broad way. You know what you got to do? Just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. That's what everybody's doing. By far, that's what people are doing. And you know what? You know, matter of fact, when you're born, we're all born on the broad road. You're born with a heart that is not righteous. We all are. So all you got to do is just keep being you. Just keep going. And just go with everybody else. But you know what? In this case, a lot of times people feel like, you know, if I'm going to get in a fight or whatever, I like to have a lot of people around me because there's security. If I got a large number of people with me, then it's going to help me out. But in this case, there is no security in numbers. There may be a lot of people going down that road, but there's no security there because Jesus says, "I'm telling you, that road ends in your eternal destruction. That's where it goes. The broad way is for certain going to bring you to eternal destruction. The Bible says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The Bible says another place, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The inwardly unrighteous. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. This is a term referring to male homosexual prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, people that use abusive, insulting speech, nor swindlers, people who rip people off, will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus says. You see a person whose life is characterized by these sins, I don't care how many times they go to church and how nice they may be, don't be deceived. Jesus says that person is on the broad road. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. See, we live in a culture today where people really have a hard time with it. In the past week, I've had two very lengthy conversations with people that live near me. And both of them really are bothered by the fact, neither one of them, in this case, the issue they brought up to me was they're very bothered by the fact that the scriptures would say that, for example, homosexuality is wrong. We live in a culture that people, what they say to you is, why does it matter? If they're not hurting anybody, if they love each other, why does it matter? Well, I'm going to answer that question in just a second. Why does it matter? But we live in a world that's like that. And so basically, when you go out of into our city, the flow is just, hey, man, as long as you don't hurt anybody, and as long as you're a nice person, and you know whatever you believe works for you, great. Just keep on going down that road. And Jesus says, no, that road, I'm telling you now, is going to lead to your eternal destruction. The truth of the matter is that if you're not made internally righteous, you are going to face eternal destruction. That's reality. Why is it, and by the way, I'll give you another verse. The Bible says, but the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, those that practice witchcraft, and idolaters and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. You see, the scripture is very, very clear that unless your heart changes on the inside, you stand facing God's wrath. That is the truth. And so Jesus is standing at the end of the sermon saying, listen to me, everybody. Enter through the narrow gate. I know that the way that's easy to go down, that the majority of people are going down that way. But don't go down that way. You see the narrow gate? That's the way that leads to life. And it's only through Jesus. But again, someone says, well, what is so wrong with this? What is so wrong with a person practicing, let's say, homosexuality or going out and getting drunk and that's their lifestyle? Or someone who lives as an adulterer and you say, well, they're not hurting anybody. They're just, that's what they want to do. Why does it bother you? Well, honestly, as a human being, by myself, it doesn't bother me. Except that once a person becomes a Christian, you now love God. And what the Christian does in this world is live for, love, and speak up for God in this world. And what does God say? Well, let's see what he says. Go to, if you have your place in Matthew, go to Romans chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. So five books away from Matthew. Romans chapter 1. And look what the Bible says. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." This is the truth. The truth of the matter is, although there are plenty of churches in this city today, they're going to tell everybody you're fine, do whatever you want to do, Jesus loves you, God loves you, just be the best you can be, and in the end, all roads are going to lead to heaven. This is a lie. The reality is that the wrath of God, God is angry with ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's the truth. Verse 28 of Romans 1 says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Why is it that the behaviors that we just listed, that the Bible lists, that describe an inward unrighteousness, why is it that they're wrong, even if they quote-unquote don't hurt anybody else? You know why? Because they are in direct disobedience to God, our Creator, who is the sovereign of the universe, and our sin greatly offends Him. That's why it's wrong. The Bible says you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. The Bible says God hates the one who practices violence, and upon the wicked He will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. The Bible says transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. His mouth is filled with wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. And God sees all these things. And the Bible says God hates this. Matter of fact, in Romans, look at the very next chapter, Romans chapter 2. You're in Romans 1. Look at Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Romans 2, in verse 4 says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds." Let me pause to say, the Scripture says, if you stay in an unrepentant way, with an exterior righteousness, but not an interior one, you are storing up for yourself wrath that's coming. That's the reality. That is the truth. This is why Jesus is using an imperative verb. Enter the narrow gate. The broad way is leading you to eternal destruction. I don't care what anybody else says. That's the truth. Verse 7 says, "To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." The reason why these things, and a person who lives this way is in grave danger, because they are offending the Creator and Sovereign of the universe. The foremost atheist that debates today is a man by the name of Christopher Hitchens. He's written a book called God Is Not Great. And I've watched several of his debates with other Christians. And what it comes down to with Christopher Hitchens is this, and he says this over and over again, almost every debate, he does not like the fact that there is a God who's telling him what to do. He absolutely rejects it. I've heard Hitchens say, if you absolutely prove to me that Jesus rose from the dead and that he was virgin born and all those things, I still will not believe him because he said, I don't want a 24-hour surveillance camera. He despises the fact that he's accountable to God. But you know what the Bible says about Jesus? That being found in appearance as a man, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on Jesus the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, Hitchens and anybody like him in our city, if they will not bow to Jesus now and turn from their sin and go through the narrow gate, one day he will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. So now that Jesus has come to the end of this sermon, he says to all of us, I didn't just say these 2.5 chapters for no reason, but for you to make a decision. Make a decision. All roads do not go to heaven. These roads are going in opposite directions. The narrow gate and the small way, the hard way, is leading to eternal life. And why is it hard? Because what the Bible says is this. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Look back at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, that really was true. I mean, if you were really going to follow Jesus in the first century, it was very likely you were going to pay for it with your life. But if you say, you know what, that's too hard. I want to stand the easy way. Everybody else is going this way. They're all fine. They're religious. And Jesus is saying, if you wish to save your life here, you're going to lose eternal life. I know it's hard, but deny yourself and pick up your cross. And by the way, have you guys ever tried to walk through a crowd of people, a large crowd, going the opposite way? That's hard to do. I remember one time going to Yankee Stadium with a couple of guys in the youth group when I was youth pastor. And we got off the subway, and it was a phalanx of Yankee fans surrounding that. And we were wearing Red Sox shirts. We were not ashamed. And I said, boys, come with me. And we were in a straight line. And these guys were all coming this way. And we're like walking through, man. I mean, I've never heard such a verbal assaulting. Yeah. But you know what? If you're in a situation like that, it is very difficult to walk the opposite way when a large crowd of people is coming at you. It's hard. But Jesus says, you see the narrow gate? That's the way. You know why else it's hard? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, so Jesus, that he might sanctify through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us who believe in him go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we do not have here a lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. If you're going to follow Jesus, and in this world, you're going to say, wait a minute, all roads don't lead to heaven. There is only one way, and it goes through one gate. And you must repent of your sin. If you stay the way that you are, you face God's wrath. You know what? You are going to face Jesus' reproach. And that's hard. Are you willing in this world to go against the crowd? You know why else it's hard? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of everybody else who doesn't know God. In the time past, he says, you walked in the same course of sensuality and lusts and drunkenness and carousing, these wild, immoral parties, and drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 says. And the next verse says, and in all this, they think it's strange that you no longer run with them into the same excesses of waste. And so, the Bible says, they malign you. That's not easy. It's not easy in this world to be thought a fool, to be thought, you know, some narrow-minded. And you know what? To follow Jesus means, for example, we've heard that it means to be poor in spirit and you mourn for your sin. Who wants to do that? We want to be proud. To be merciful. To instead of not only murdering someone, dealing with the hate, instead of not only committing adultery, but fighting the lust at the very beginning. This is hard to do. To love your enemies. To live for the next world, not this one. These are all hard, people. This is not easy. But this is the way that leads to life. And there's only one entrance into that life. Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father but through me. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to go against the crowd and to go through the narrow gate, even though this way is so untrodden, it's hard to find. Because hardly anybody's going there. Well, look what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, the very next book from Matthew, Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus says, or Peter says in Mark 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. There are people even sitting in this room today, certainly people all over, that the fact that they now have embraced Jesus, the narrow gate, their family rejects him. They face ridicule and dislike. I don't know if you guys read, I saw the other day on Fox News that this guy, 24 years old, works at the Brookstone in Logan Airport. And a woman came in who just, as a lesbian, got married to her lesbian partner. And during, she came in and 4 times came right to his face, I guess knowing he was a Christian, saying, you know, me and my girl got married. You know, kept on goading him. And finally he said, he basically just said to her in a loving way, you know, that's, I'm sorry, I can't be happy for you because, you know, this is what the scripture says. You know, in 2 days he got fired. They got a letter from Brookstone saying you were not allowed to, you know, discriminate and so forth. So is it difficult? Sure. But is it worth it? You know what he says in verse back in our text in Matthew chapter 7? He says in verse 14, there are few people who find it. There are few who are even looking. Most people are totally content to go just as they are. And so my question this morning is, will God allow someone who is truly searching to be lost? You say, well, what if there's someone, Ted, out here who is, and in their heart, they truly want to know God's way. Will God let them be lost? No. The Bible says, you will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Jesus says in the very Sermon on the Mount, a person who has just now heard the description of what it means to be inwardly righteous when Jesus is your king. And you say, wow, Lord, how can I not have a judgmental spirit? And how can I live for the next world, not this one? And how can I love my enemies? And all these things that you've just described in these two chapters, how can I do it? And Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and him who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the way he was going, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him. And so this morning, everyone listening to me right now is on one of these two roads. And I ask you this morning, are you on the broad way heading toward eternal judgment or the narrow way heading toward eternal life? Do you this morning wish to repent, to change your mind from the way that you are going down the broad way and turn from that? If you wish, then I say to you this morning, here's what you need to do. Go to the narrow gate. The Bible says about Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. The Bible says of Jesus that God made Jesus to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says of Jesus, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool. Jesus can wash away, and only Jesus, your sin. The Bible says about heaven, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying will ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you wish to leave the broad way that leads to destruction? Then go to the gate. And the way, the gate, is Jesus. I am the door, he says. He who enters through me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I say to you this morning, if you will not repent, you know what the Scripture says this? If it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, if you think that's hard, how will it be for the godless man and the sinner? Much worse. These roads are going in opposite directions, and so I think this also is something that all of us who have gone through the narrow gate, we have embraced Jesus. And if that's you, you are a Christian. But I want to say, and the Scripture says to us over and over again, if you belong to Jesus, Christian, leave the broad way behind. Decide. One time, one of the prophets of God came to God's people and said, how long are you halting between two opinions? If God is really God, if you think Jesus really is the Messiah, and he is the only way to eternal life, and that's the only way, then follow him. If he's not, then follow that God. But decide. You know what's happening in this world? That too many people that actually do belong to Jesus are not having the impact we should have in this world because we are living just like most of the people going down the broad way. The Scripture says this, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore walk as a child of light. And the fruit of life, light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Bible says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The righteous is heading this way. He's not heading this way while saying, okay, I got the gate, but I'm going down the broad way. No. The Bible says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world, the broad way, the way of outward righteousness, but inside wickedness, is hostility towards God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God, the Bible says. The Bible says, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from your Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away in all its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. This is what the Scripture says. And so, Christians, if you have embraced Jesus, leave the Broadway behind. I want you to look at, you guys were in Romans a little bit ago. Look at the very two books after Romans, 2 Corinthians. You have Romans, then 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Don't you guys should not be walking down the same road together with unbelievers. You're going in the opposite direction. What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, this other name for Satan? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know what's not helping in the world today, and the reason why so many people are comfortable in their Broadway? Because the people who should be salt and light, they're going out and being immoral just like they are, and getting drunk just like they are, and they're gossips and slanderers just like they are, and they're judgmental just like they are, and they hate their enemies just like they do. And all you say to them is, well, I have Jesus. Well, why do I need Jesus? You're the same person I am. We're going to have a much greater impact in this world if those of us who have embraced the Savior walk that way. God is called. And again, is that a challenge? Yes, it is. And that's exactly why you need Jesus. The Bible says, those who want to get rich, those who are materialistic, even like the world, fall into many temptations and snares and foolish and harmful desires which plunge a man into destruction and ruin. And some, by longing for materialism, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee these things and follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were called and made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Go in that direction. Listen finally to what the Scripture says. The Bible says to those who belong to Jesus, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. There's a chorus that's been sung for several years. We're going to sing it in a second. The Christians have sung for a long time. And it sounds like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We're going to sing that in just a second. The second verse says, the world behind me, the cross before me. And the third verse says, though no one joins me, still I will follow. A preacher who lived in the early 20th century, the first half, named Martin Lloyd-Jones, said of this, there was a time when some of our forefathers used to teach that it was a good thing for every Christian to make a covenant with God. Having considered the truth like this, to enter in to the narrow gate. They would sit down and solemnly write on paper the covenant which they made with God, and they would put their signature to it and the date, exactly as if it were a business transaction. They would sign away themselves and their right to themselves and all they had, and their right to live as they chose. They would henceforth give themselves to God, much as a man joining an army surrenders the right to himself and the control of his life. They would enter into a contract like that, a covenant with God, and they would sign, seal, and settle it, and there it was. There is something to be said for that practice. Some of us suffer so much from the tendency just to contemplate the Christian life without doing anything about it, that it would be a good thing for us deliberately and definitely to make an act of committal such as this and thus enter in at the narrow gate. It demands a decision. And that's what these verses demand. Jesus says, again, enter in through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And so I say to you on exactly what Jesus says to all of us today, enter through the narrow gate and leave the broad way behind. And I want to ask one last question. I think all of us to ask, those that do belong to Jesus, I think it's a great question to ask ourselves during the week. Is this behavior that I'm engaging in right now Broadway behavior or narrow way? We need Jesus' grace. And you're never going to enter in the way that leads to life until you come through Jesus first. Do you wish today to do that? Turn from your sin and embrace Jesus. And if you have embraced Jesus, follow Him. Let's pray. Before I pray, I want to say, if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I realize in my life that it's been the broad way. I've lived a broad way life. I've been content with an outward side form of righteousness, but inside full of all kinds of rebellion against God. And I believe what Jesus says this morning, that if I continue down that path, it's leading me to my eternal destruction. I believe Jesus. And so this morning, I turn from my sin and I embrace Jesus. I embrace the narrow gate. Only Jesus can save me, and I want Him to save me, to change my heart. If that's you, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I encourage you right now in the quietness of this moment, in your heart, ask Jesus to save you. And then I say to all of us that are here that you have put your faith in Jesus. You have turned and embraced Jesus as Savior. Are you right now currently in your life walking down the narrow way, or have you turned back? Have you stopped? Jesus wants you to keep on going. Leave the broad way behind. And by His strength, you will. Jesus does not lose anyone who comes to Him. Lord, I pray for Your strength this morning. You know the needs of every heart here today. I pray for anyone here today that has been and the path that leads to destruction. I pray that today they'll turn from their sin and embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior who died for their sin. And then I pray, dear God, for all of us who have embraced You as Savior. We feel the pull in our hearts so many times to go back to the broad way where everybody else is going, to live immorally and controlled by our flesh. Lord, help us to believe You and persevere on the narrow way. We need Your strength today, and I thank You that You promise if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, You will give it to us, God. So we ask You for that strength today. We thank you for your love and your commitment to every one of us that belong to you. We pray in your name. Amen.